Message entitled, What Happens When You Go to a Strange Land? The strange land is the place that you go as a result of your sins, either willingly or unwillingly. It's the far country that the prodigal went to. The history of this psalm is this. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, in 587 B.C., he came in with the help of the Edomites and he razed Jerusalem to the ground. That means he destroyed it to the foundations. And he carried away their people captives. And you can read about that in 2 Kings chapter 25. And the book of Obadiah is an indictment against the land of Edom for their help in that. The books of Jeremiah, Isaiah, and Habakkuk have indictments in them and prophecies against Babylon for their part in this. Psalms 137 is what they were going through and how they felt emotionally during the time that they were in captivity. Their song was taken away. They were miserable. And the theme of the song is, though we cannot sing one of the Lord's songs in a strange land, we also can't forget them. They were in this place because they had sold God out and God had allowed the land to spew them out. Look at Leviticus 18. Now, Leviticus 18 is helpful because many of you have heard indictments against the Lord that said, what kind of God would tell Joshua to go in and level Jericho, right? What kind of God would order that kind of thing? Well, Leviticus 18 shows you why God did it. Look at this. It says in verse 20, it gives you abominations that they were not supposed to do. In verse 20, you're not supposed to commit adultery and sleep with your neighbor's wife. Verse 21, you're not supposed to sacrifice your children to the devil. That should go without saying, right? We do that through abortion, or people in America do. It says in verse 22 that you're not to be a homosexual. In verse 23, you're not to defile yourself with a beast in that manner, physically. In verse 24... it says, defile not yourselves in any of these things, for in all these things the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. Verse 25, and because of what they did, the land is defiled. And here's the reason. Therefore do I visit the iniquity of thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. You know, God said the land cannot be cleansed by the blood of him that shed it, right? They were shedding children's blood, and God has a law baked into this system, this world, nature, and I don't know how the law works, but the land will fight back, and it will cleanse itself of blood, and it will vomit out the inhabitants thereof. Okay? In verse 26, he said, because of that, you shall keep my statutes and my judgment, shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your nation nor any stranger that sojourns among you. Verse 27, for all these abominations have the men of the land done which were before you, and the land is defiled. Verse 28, that the land spew not you out also when you defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. Well, here they are. They're in Babylon. The land vomited them out, because they were involved in those activities there in a strange land. But look what else what he says directly about the prophecy of Babylon, Jeremiah 25. Jeremiah 25, he is giving them a prophetic warning about what's going to happen to them. And this Psalm 137 that we're reading and preaching as a fulfillment of it. Jeremiah 25 and verse 4, the Lord says this, I tried to get your attention. He said, and the Lord sent you his servants, the prophets, to tell them, verse 25, to turn everyone from his evil way. In verse 8, therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, because you have not heard my words. Verse 9, I will send and take the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land, and against the inhabitants thereof, and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them, and make them an astonishment and a hissing and perpetual desolation. And then look at verse 10. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the sound of the millstones and the light of the candles, And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. So we're in Psalm 137. And you know what they said? Sing to us. Give us a song. And they said, God took our song. He took away the voice of mirth. How can we sing the Lord's songs in a strange land? Now they've done it. Now they were cast off. They're away from their people. They're slaves in a foreign land. When you decide to leave God, when you decide to leave church in your heart or with your feet, when you decide to go out and sow your wild oats, it's not going to turn out well. When you go to a strange land, a far country, bad things are happening. And some of you in here, some of you young people, maybe even some of my own, will decide that the world has something to offer. And the Christian life is all they've ever known. And there's something better in the world. And my parents didn't know what they're talking about. So I'm going to go out there and try that. And if you're saved, if you're truly born again, there's a promise in the Bible that God will chasten you. You will regret it. You will not enjoy it after a while. And it will turn out bad. I want everyone in here under 24 to stand up. Everyone that's under 24. Okay? Children, everyone under 24. Up in the balcony everywhere. Or raise your hand or something. Okay? Now this morning, listen to me, primarily I'm talking to you. Stay standing for a second. I want you to know this. When I was your age, my preacher in the hills of Tennessee looked at a group of us kids. There were 20 of us. And he said, you need to decide who you're going to serve. You need to decide who you're going to serve. He said, most of you will not serve God. He said, some of you will. He said, some of you are going to become alcoholics. You're going to become drug addicts. You're going to become adulterers. You're going to become homosexuals. And you are going to ruin your life. And he said it to a group of people, just like I'm saying it this morning. You know what we did? We looked at each other and we said, he's crazy. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I would never do that. I wouldn't do that. Which one of you, who do you think is going to be the homosexual? How does he know that? He didn't know. He just lived long enough to know and see enough kids come up and grow up in church to realize that most of them do not end up serving God. And you know what they do? They do what the Jews did in Psalm 137. They go to a strange land. Now you can sit down in a second, but let me tell you this before you do. I do not ever want to say I told you so. I don't ever want to say, hey, remember all the way back then I told you that would happen. That would break my heart. I don't want to be right. You and I want to hear. The Holy Spirit got a hold of my heart that morning. God talked to me. And I decided that I would not and I will not go to a strange land. But I'm going to stay with God and serve God. You may be seated. That's what I want to hear. But what is going to happen if you go to a strange land? I heard that sin never leaves anyone better than it found him. I heard the bird with the broken wing never flies as high as it once did. But this is what will happen. Mark it down and settle in your heart this day whom you will serve. And please take it from someone that has been there. You do not want to go. So, you have heard the saying that said this, sin will take you further than you want to go, it'll keep you longer than you want to stay, and it will make you pay more than you want to pay. You heard that? Number one this morning, what will happen if you go to a strange land? You will go further than you want it to go. Look at verse 1 in Psalm 137, verse 1, if you will, please. It said here, By the rivers of Babylon, we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. By the rivers of Babylon, here's a map that I'll show you this morning. The Tigris and Euphrates River, the rivers of Babylon, Iraq, modern-day Iraq. 900 miles from home. 900 miles from Jerusalem. 900 miles from the people of God and the temple of God. 900 miles from home, they sat down by that river and they wept when they remembered Zion. When they remembered where they come from and how far they came, they sat down and wept and they were homesick and they said, how did we get here? How did we get so far from God all this way from home? Well, many years ago, they started down the wrong road. And they started making the wrong decisions. And they started ignoring the signs that God posted. Warning, danger ahead, bridge out, turn around. And they knew in their heart that it was the wrong direction. But they kept on going. And they never meant to end up here. They just wanted to have a good time. They never meant to be a slave in Babylon. They never thought it would happen to them. They just wanted to flirt with their neighbor's wife. They just wanted to meet the people of the land and learn their culture. But they never dreamed that this would happen. I remember a young man came here to church and he was sitting there weeping and crying. And thank God he's doing good and serving the Lord now. I know him. He lives in a different city in this state. But I went out, and it was the first time he had been to church in, since he was really young. And he left as soon as he could leave home when he was 16. He left, and he went to the world, and he was in his mid-30s. The first time he went back to church, he came, and he sat back there with Miss Kathy sitting in the different pews. And I went out and talked to him. I said, well, what brought you back? He said, I was at this party, and it was wicked, and there was drugs and alcohol and fornication, and I was with somebody, I don't even know their name. And after several hours, I looked up, I was drunk, I was high, I was out of my mind. And he said, I grabbed my head and screamed and said, how did I get here? How did I get here? How did I go from a 13-year-old child sitting on the front row at church to being where I am now? Trying to drug it away, trying to drown it away, and I can't even enjoy it. What is wrong with me? And he said, what happened is I got mad at God because my dad died, and I thought God took my daddy away, and then my mama married the preacher, and I was mad at God, and I was mad at mom. But I never meant to end up here. And he still doing well, but he is still dealing with the effects of the far country that he went further than he ever wanted to go. Have you ever had that happen? Where you do something and you're like, this is not what I planned. This is not what I think it is. Listen, young people, I don't know what you think it is like, but it's not what you think it is. I don't know if you think you're going to gain, but it's not what you think it is. There are no half measures when you sell your soul. There's no half measures. If you could see the man that beat his wife in a drunken stupor, and he's sitting in jail weeping through the bars to the preacher saying, I never meant to do it. If you could see the man that molested his own child sitting in jail talking to the preacher saying, I didn't mean to do this. I never meant it to get this far. I just let some things in my life go unchecked. You know what we forget? That the worst criminals are made from the same flesh that you and I are. What people don't understand is that you and I are capable of the same evil that repulses us today and makes us cringe. And say, how could they do that? I could do that. You could do that. If you get away from the restraining influence of the Holy Spirit, the people of God, and you leave God behind and God turns you over to yourself, Romans 1, to do those things which are not convenient, You can do anything. When you're put in an extreme situation, you don't know what will happen. Most worst crimes that you've been repulsed by, you are capable of headline evil. Not me. Yes, you. Who am I talking to? The 10-year-old boy, the 11-year-old boy sitting on the front row. The little girl in the back row. The people up in the back. I'm talking to you. You are capable of it. Just let yourself go on track. Ernest Hemingway said, all things truly wicked start out from something innocent. The monsters you hear about were once children like we were. Hitler was the apple of his mother's eye. You know what's amazing is you can look at baby pictures of Hitler online. He just looks like a kid. He kept a picture of his mother. And when his mother died, you know what the doctor said? He said, I had never seen somebody so prostrate and stricken with grief as Adolf Hitler was when he lost his mother. And he kept a picture of his mother with him throughout his whole life, and it was on him when he died in that bunker. It was in the bunker with him. He was a kid. I read a book called Indifferent to the Stars Above, where the Donner Party went through the Sierra Nevadas and they got caught in the snowstorm and the terrible winter before they went down into California. And they started dying of starvation. And you know what one of them said? I didn't know I was capable of eating my own family member's body to stay alive. But I was put in an extreme situation. One day, you will look up. If you go into sin, that's an extreme situation, and you'll go further than you ever planned to go. And you know what will happen? It will happen by degrees, and when you get there, it won't even shock you. But one day, you'll look up and you'll say, I remember Zion. And you'll start weeping. And you'll remember what it was like when you were a kid. You know, it's brought many people to tears when they remembered the paradise and the innocence they lost. When they look at the irreparable damage they'd done, the one author said, there was a little girl and she was dead, in her place stood an evil woman. They do things in a strange land that they cannot undo. They say, I remember when I went to church with my family and life is good. They remembered Zion. What was Zion? It was the place of God. It was where the sacrifice was and God's temple was and where He manifested His presence. It's the place where God was real to them. How did we get there? How did we make such a mess of things? Oh, how far we are from Zion. You know, we sing the song, the hill of Zion yields 1,000 sacred sweets. And you know why you sit down and you weep? Because you remember what you used to be. And Babylon has its thrills and Babylon has its beauty, but it doesn't have Jesus. And the heart that has been satisfied with Jesus will never be satisfied and can never be happy again with anything else. And if you're Christian, you have a Zion, but it's more important than this Zion. It's the place that you met the Lord Jesus Christ. And one day you'll remember that place in the depths of your sin when God was real to you. You remember the place you got saved? Every time I go back to Tennessee, I go to Henson Springs Road. And I walk up that road where the Spirit of God touched me on the bicycle and said, you're a sinner and you're on your way to hell. And I get to the spot close to the top of the hill where you can look out of the fields and the deer jump over the fence and the fence has grown into the tree. And I get on my face. And every time I go back, God is just as real to me as the day He saved me. And He sure is a lot sweeter than He was that day to me. And I'll remember it. And every time I think about it, every way I go back, I'm there where God was real to me. You have a place like that? I remember the church at Cane Creek, the church on the stilts, where God got a hold of my heart. And I met with God. And I was there in prayer meetings with the men of the church with tears in my eyes calling out to God. I remember the altar at Bible Baptist Church where I came down and surrendered my life to God and said I would go to the ministry no matter what the cost. The Lord had a blank check. He could do anything. I remember this altar and the people that have gotten saved here and what the things that the Lord has done here. And if you go to a strange land, one day you'll remember a day like this when the church was full and the singing was loud and the preaching was hot and God was speaking to your heart and you'll say, how did I get here? I never meant to go this far. But those memories can make you turn around. They can make you turn around. Where is the blessedness I knew when I first saw the Lord? Where is the soul-refreshing view of Jesus and His Word? What peaceful hours I once enjoyed, how sweet their memories still, but they have left an aching void the world can never fill. William Cowper. Number two, you will stay longer than you wanted to stay. Look at verse 3. For they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. So you look at the word, they carried us away captive. You see that? They didn't want to be there, but they were captivated. And then it says, and they that wasted us. You know what sin does? It captivates you, and it wastes your life. It captivates you, and it wastes your life. And you know what will happen? You will stay longer than you wanted to stay. Their life was wasted. It was too precious to waste, and yet it was wasted. The devil's great at wasting people's life. He'll waste it away. Just entertainment, whatever you want to do, he'll waste it away. He'll take that precious life of yours and just allow you to pour it down the drain, captivated by sin. Listen to this. The chains of sin are too light to be felt until they are too heavy to be broken. The chains of sin are too light to be felt until they are too heavy to be broken. They did not want to be there. They looked out of the window and it was not like home. It was not like Jerusalem. There was nothing good about it, but they couldn't leave. They were captives. They were not free to go. You know, many people walk up and look out the window and they say, where am I now? I used to go to Sunday school. I grew up in church. I was a pastor's kid. But they don't have the money or the emotional fortitude to get a ticket to leave the strange land. You know, you can go there anytime you want, but you get stuck. Remember Samson? Samson went down to the land of the Philistines. And he thought he could come and go whenever he pleased, didn't he? And he went down there and he met an old girl named Delilah. And she tried to captivate him with the people that were against God. They tried to trap him in that land. And for a while he could break off the restraints. And for a while he could get out. But there came a time when he could no longer break free. When they helped him break his vow against God, then he was stuck. And you know what they did? They took him. They bound him. They blinded him. And they brought him down to the prison house and they made him grind in the prison house. Sin has binding power, it has blinding power, and it has grinding power. And you know what you'll do? You'll go down there and you will get stuck. Why? Maybe you'll marry the devil. Maybe you'll marry Jezebel. That's what happened to Ahab. Maybe you'll marry Nabal. Maybe you'll get in a relationship with Delilah. Maybe you'll have kids with them and the devil will be the parent to your children. And by devil, I mean the bum, the person from the strange land. The person that's no account. And then you'll wake up and you'll say, what did I do? And then your children will speak, half in the language of Ashdod and half in the language of God, and you will be stuck. And then you'll try to reform the devil, and you'll find out the devil doesn't want to be reformed, and you will be stuck. But you were warned. You bought the ticket. And when the blinders come off, oh, it's a sad day to behold. There was a man in the Bible named Eleazar, and he was fighting the Philistines one day. And you know what it said about him? It said that his sword clave to his hand. You know what that means? He used it so long that he tried to put it down, and he could no longer put it down because he had used it too long. And sometimes people, you know what you do? You try to let go of the world, but the world won't let go of you. You'll get stuck. You'll stay longer than you wanted to stay. Maybe you'll be chained by addiction. Maybe you'll be chained financially, like the guy that we talked to that owned a nightclub, and he wanted to get out, but he had a house and a wife and a mortgage, and his wife said, "You better get over your conscience and do the right thing by your family. We need a place to live." You know what happens? You get stuck. You get stuck in the strange land. And the Bible says that he that committeth sin is the servant of sin. Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. No one wants the life of an alcoholic. Not even an alcoholic, but they're stuck. No one wants the life of a person that's chained to lust, but they're captive. Just remember, you can't always leave. Don Henley, which is a modern day... Well, he told the truth, even though he was a very evil man. And I don't know if he meant to trade the truth, but he wrote a song for the Eagles. And it said, "Welcome to the Hotel California. Such a lovely place. Such a lovely place. They're living it up at the Hotel California. What a nice surprise. Bring your alibis. Mirrors on the ceiling. Champagne on ice." And she said, "We are just prisoners here of our own device." And in the master's chamber, they gathered for the feast. They grabbed their steely knives, but they just can't kill the beast. The last thing I remember, I was running to the door. I had to find the passage back to the place I was before. "Relax," said the nightman. "We're all programmed to receive. You can check out any time you like, but you can never leave." And you know what he said about that song? That's about innocence lost. That song, sadly, is true for many people that go to the far country. Do you really want to leave the far country? Do you want to get stuck? Then don't go. Go somewhere else. Don't go there. And then, number three, you will pay more than you wanted to pay. You'll pay. Oh, I wish I could tell you. I wish I could tell you what it's cost me. You could hear my words, but you couldn't feel my emotions. Oh, I wish I could tell you. I wish I could tell you of the regrets. You know what kids do? They say, "You made it out okay. You're okay now. By the grace of God." Not everyone makes it out. "You seem like you're doing okay. It worked out for you. You're in a good place now, and if you wouldn't have done this and this, then you wouldn't be in the place you're..." That's the grace of God. But if I would buy that lie, it would be saying that my sin is the most instrumental thing in my life for getting me where I am today. And that's a lie that the devil wants you to buy. I don't plan out my life. The Lord does. I don't order my steps. God does. And I don't know where I would be if I didn't make those mistakes. Thank God for His mercy and His grace, but don't try to say that line. The devil wants you to say that line. Amen. It's not going to work out. Listen, if you want what's best for you, then choose what God wants. You'll pay more than you ever wanted to pay. Look at the verse here in verse 3. "For they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth." They required a song. Their captors were making fun of them. You know what they're saying? "Come and dance for us. Come sing us one of those Hebrew songs." Those songs that we heard about Jerusalem. Don't you have a whole book full of them called Psalms? Why don't you come and sing us one of those songs? You know, I read about the slave ships that were coming over here, and they would keep the slaves in the hold for 16 hours. And 8 hours a day, weather permitting, they'd bring them up on deck, and they'd feed them twice. And they would have them sing and dance. They would make them sing and dance for the captors and the captain, the slave traders, for entertainment. They didn't want to sing. I was reading the story of Zamperini, and he was in that prisoner of war camp, and the guard there that was beating him was named Mutsushiro Watanabe. And you know what he would do? He would take the prisoners, and he would beat them and knock them out. They would fall on the ground bleeding, and he would be like, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that, I'm sorry." And he'd give them a hug, and he'd say, come to my office with me. And he'd bring them there, and he'd give them a soda and make them play cards with them. And then he'd get happy again and say, "Sing me a song. Sing me one of those American songs." They didn't want to be there. They didn't want to sing those songs. They didn't want to do that for him, but they didn't have a choice because they were made to pay something they didn't want to pay. And that's the position the Jews were in. Sing us a song. God's taken our song. We can't sing the song. We're in a strange land. Not that we don't remember. We can't forget those songs. But how can we sing them here? What would they have sang? Would they have sang the song of Moses? Where the words of the song says this, "The Lord is my strength and my song. He is my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare him a habitation. I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. Pharaoh's chariots hath he lost and cast into the sea." He might have done that for Pharaoh, but he didn't sing it. He didn't do that against us. We got you. Oh, I like that song. Sing it again. Would they have sung the song of Deborah and Barak, where he said, "O Lord, let them that love thee be as the sun which goeth forth in his might, and the land had rest 40 years. Well, you're not going to have rest for the next 70 years by us. What would they have sung? Psalm 1? "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." Oh, man. "Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be a tree planted by the rivers of water." Could they have sang that? What about Psalm 23? "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture." You ain't going to be lying down on the job here, buddy. You see, the songs of the Lord are about victory. The songs of the Lord are about goodness and triumph over enemies and triumph over slavery. The songs of the Lord are to be sung when you are worshiping God and you are celebrating God and you are living for God. The songs of the world can be sang when you are crying and you have a tear in your beer and you're celebrating your booze, but not God's songs. The songs of the Lord are different. They're not about entertainment. You know what the problem with modern music and modern Christian music is, I think? They've tried to make it a form of entertainment instead of worship. And so they can sing it when they're not worshiping God, when they're not close to God, when they're far from God, they can sing it. But the songs of the Lord you can't sing in a strange land. What would you sing? What are you going to sing at the bar with your buddies? "I am on the winning side. No more out in sin will I abide. I've enlisted in the fight for the cause of truth and right." Is that what you would sing? What about when you're trying to woo your girlfriend and she said, "Put on some music. My Jesus, I love thee." I don't even know what romantic music is, you know? I try to put it on, it's like the Smoky Mountain hymns. You know, my son, he knows all these songs on the piano. I can just imagine him going out into the world. They're like, "Oh, you play the piano. You do, do you?" Every time he sits down at the piano, hymns just come out, just naturally. That's what he knows, right? "Oh, you play the piano. Come on, play for us." I don't really know a lot of this. "Just play for us." "Okay, victory in Jesus." What are you going to sing? You see, if you go to the foreign land, you'll pay more than you wanted to pay. How many of us adults here this morning have gone to a strange land in a far country and we pay far more than we ever wanted to pay? How many of us can say to the kids, honey, don't go. It's not what you think it is. It's not what you think it is. It's not. Please don't go. Don't go. It's terrible out there. What did they pay? Look at verse 8. O daughter of Babylon, who art thou to be destroyed? Happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. Happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the stone. Now that verse will make you cringe. It will. But let me say this. If you've never been in their position, then you don't know how they were feeling. And Viktor Frankl said this, an abnormal reaction to an abnormal situation is perfectly normal behavior. And you don't understand what they were going through. They didn't say it was right, they just said what their emotions would be. You know what they did? They watched their children die. They watched their children's heads be bashed in. You know what they paid for? They paid more than they wanted to pay. They paid with their families. I remember talking to a lady. She was an alcoholic. And she was sitting there smoking a cigarette. And she had just lost her kids. They got adopted out. She lost all rights to them. She could never contact or see them again unless when they became adults they would try to contact her. And she said, well, I guess that's a price you pay for drinking too much for too long. I never wanted to pay with my children, but I can't stop. I don't care what it is. You'll pay more than you want to pay. You'll pay dearly, and you'll pay with those you love. I can name them. People come to my mind. I have their names written down. I'm not going to tell you them. He lost his family. He lost his wife and his kids. Tattoos all over his face. Addicted. He lost his health and his wife. He almost died from an overdose. She lost her life from an overdose, a preacher's daughter. He's in prison for the rest of his life. Most of those kids I talked about in that youth group, they don't live with their kids. They pay child support, and they're broken, miserable people, and they're my age. Sin will break you and throw you away. The strange land in the far country is the place of your own doing. It's a place where you chose to go. It's where your sins have gotten you prior to repentance. One time I was in Mexico, and I went there with a friend, and this friend said to me, I'm going to go see my girlfriend. And I said, okay. And he's like, I'm going to take your car. And I said, okay. And then he left, and I'm staying with this family in a town called Morales, Mexico. And I cannot speak any English, Spanish. I can't even speak English well, but I could speak no Spanish. I didn't even know the word taco back then. It was, my Spanish was not más mejor. It was terrible. And so I'm there, and I can't talk to them, and they can't talk to me. We can smile and like point, but that's about it. So I'm like, well, this isn't going anywhere. So I got up and I go for a walk. And I'm walking around the town square and I'm just looking at all these people. I can't communicate with any of them. And I said, what if he never comes back? What if he doesn't bring my car back? What am I going to do? I'm in a strange land. I don't belong here. I can't communicate. And I reached into my pocket and I felt my American driver's license. And I felt my United States passport. And I said, it doesn't matter what happens, I can somehow find a way to the border. and I can show them my credentials that I don't belong in this country, I belong in a different country, and I can go home, and as soon as I get to the States, everything will be okay. And if you're saved, you know what you have? You have credentials. You have a heavenly birth certificate. It says that you are a son of the King, and you are a daughter of the King, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what you need to do? You need to pull that passport out. You need to pull that birth certificate out. And you need to go to the edge of the foreign land, and you need to say, I am a child of the King, and I'm leaving this place, and I'm never coming back. I'm getting out of this foreign land. And if you're a young person here, make up your mind, I'll never go. I'll never go. And maybe God's put someone on your heart that's out in that land. Why don't you bow your heads, let's pray together, and pray for that person. Pray God would get a hold of them out there. Pray God would rescue them, He would touch their heart. He would bring them back, they would come to their senses. And pray for our young people that they won't go, that they'll keep serving God and they'll keep living for the Lord. Lord, we come before You, and we are so thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're thankful for our Bible, and we're thankful for these lessons that we learn about what happens when we get away from God. And Lord, I know my children are here this morning, and I know I love them, and I know it would break my heart if they would go, and maybe they will, maybe they won't. But I pray, Father, that they would sense the presence of God, the closeness of the Lord, His Spirit. I pray they would be drawn to the Lord, and they would be so happy in the Lord that they would not want to go looking for something else, Father. Help them to be held by Your Spirit and by Your love, Father. Please speak to their hearts. Help them to make a decision this morning. In Jesus' name.